I'm Holly Rubinsky, and I will be reading from Beyond This Point, my book that started as a memoir and evolved over years into a novel, published by McClellan & Stewart in 2006. When you read it, you can see where it might have started and how it changed. The voice on the phone had its own idea about what Kathleen Elliott should be doing, and it was immediately obvious to Kathleen that the woman behind the voice didn't know her. Didn't know that her emergencies were internal, her turmoil inside, and based upon, who knew, probably a chemical imbalance. The 911 voice seemed to have no idea of the impact of her tone, the fear it set going. Either the woman hadn't a clue or didn't care that her brusque, efficient manner was making things worse, making Kathleen more frantic and further committing James to being truly on the floor, unable to move or get up, and unable, as far as Kathleen could tell, to hear her. Or maybe the woman was unaware that her bossiness was prodding Kathleen toward a disturbing notion, along the lines of, maybe there is something. Maybe James really was. It was unthinkable that an ambulance was already on the way. Possibly Kathleen had been too quick to judge, too quick to reach for the phone. Now there was the unflappable voice, the telephone wire connecting the clipped, rehearsed words to James's prone silence, the fact that he had projects and papers and his computer on of no significance. The change in their circumstance, James's and hers, inched forward. Kathleen lost her balance, nearly tripped over him. The voice wanted to know if she had done CPR. James was face down, and everyone knew it was not a good idea, moving the body. All right, so she would do it, make believe a real-life emergency, as though. I'm sorry to bother you, she had not said that. She dialed and said, James is on the floor, and my husband is on the floor and he won't get up. He's not moving. I'm afraid to touch him in case an ambulance was on the way. Stroke, she was thinking. The galvanizing monotone ticked through a checklist, causing a dizzying rush. She must do something, must do it now. She dropped the receiver on the bed, kneeled again to him. She slid her hands under his chest and lifted. He came up an inch, solid as stone. She tried again, heaved and maneuvered him onto his back. When she opened her eyes, she saw that he did not look like himself. He had put on a mask, slightly garish. Dark circles lay under the eyes, dark circles, purplish blue. She placed her mouth atop his lips were cold. She forced breath in, his mouth was dank, his beard. She puffed, she blew, she pressed on his stiff chest. It's not working, she shouted into the room, and bent again and pressed on his hardening chest as, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? Something irrevocable rippled past. She whipped round to catch it, heard a sound from the phone, and scooted across the floor on her knees to pull at the receiver. It's not working. I think he might be. The ambulance is outside your building. Go open the door or they will kick it in. I think he's had a stroke, Kathleen shouted, not meaning to shout. Go and open the door or they will kick it in. But I can't leave him alone. Go now and open the door or they will kick it in. The woman was implacable. They're on the elevator now, almost to your floor. Go now. How did the woman on the phone know where anybody was? Incredible. Kathleen reeled, staggered to her feet. She said to James, I'll be right back, and skittered down the hall, perplexed by how much that woman knew. She opened the door to a fist poised and was pleased at the timing. She had no choice but to step aside to let them in. They were already moving. They were large and disguised by complicated uniforms. And she bumped against the old leather suitcase from James's French grandfather, which was kept in the hall. Remembering her manners, she called to their backs, Come in, please. He's on the floor, bedroom. And, oh, come in, to the last man, pushing a machine on wheels off the elevator, adding helpfully, They've all gone to the bedroom down that way. Giddy that the unfathomable was taking place on this Sunday night. There's before and there's after.